Live from Music Row, it is the nation's number one show for the family caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 30 years of experience to help you stay strong and healthy while taking care of someone who is not. There are more than 65 million of us around the country. 65 million. Who is helping those who help? I am. And I'm doing it every Sunday afternoon live here on the studios of iHeart, 1510 WLAC, right on beautiful world-famous Music Row. And I am so glad you're here with us. If you want to be a part of the show, if you want to call in live, 800-688-WLAC, 800-688-WLAC, 800-688-9522. And when you call, the person who will answer the phone, the dulcet tones, that velvet voice, is himself, the Baron of the Board, the Earl of Engineering, the Sultan of Sound. You know him, you love him. He is the Count of Mighty Disco, John Butler, everyone.
Oh, thank you so much, Peter. How are you doing today?
I am precious. Thank you for
asking.
You
are always precious. You adorable man.
You beautiful person, you.
Yes. Oh, man. Well, it is a fantastic day here in Middle Tennessee. And
what a day.
Really.
This is the time of year when... Would you really love being from Tennessee?
Absolutely. And I got to ride the bike in today. It was
the
fantastic.
Count cycle.
The Count cycle.
Absolutely. The Count cycle. Were people looking at you as you were doing it?
Oh, people always look at me.
Do you wear a helmet?
I do wear a helmet, absolutely. There's no way around that. I've had great experiences here in Nashville with the motorist-cyclist relationship, but I gotta protect the old noggin. There's a lot going on up here. And silence.
I'm struggling right now. My brain is having a collision with my mouth.
Oh, it's fantastic.
What do you call that? I think you said it's a delicious disconnect.
Absolutely. It is delicious. We need to savor those moments.
Well, listen, you have a shout out to some friends of yours.
I have a shout out to some friends of mine. My dear friends, Josh, Lauren, Lindy, Gina, Carter, John, Evan, Kate, and of course, Father Material, Jason Steen, are listening today. And
wow, you've just doubled our audience.
I know. I just totally doubled the audience. It's fantastic.
Hey, listen. Well, thank you all for listening. Friends of John are always welcome here.
They're having Sunday brunch together today, and I couldn't make it, but because I have a very important and very fun show to do.
You got a gig.
I got a gig, man. It's grand, you know?
You got a gig.
Sometimes it even pays the bills.
Sometimes. It pays the
gas money to get here.
Yeah, but you're
I
on
rode
a bike.
Yeah.
Okay, we saw that one coming.
Yeah, a mile away, buddy.
Hey, listen, couple things. We are streaming live on Facebook through Standing with Hope, which is the presenting sponsor of this show, standingwithhope.com. And Standing with Hope is the nonprofit ministry that Gracie and I started many, many years ago. For those of you who don't know, my wife Gracie had a horrific car accident when she was 17 back in 1983. And eventually in the 90s, it cost her both legs. And once she gave up both of her legs, she said, you know what? I'm going to go help make a difference in my fellow amputees' lives. And she has. And for more than a dozen years, we've been working in the West African country of Ghana. We treat patients from as far away as Nigeria that come, and we teach and equip local workers to build quality prosthetic limbs for their own people. And this has been her vision for a long time. And so Standing with Hope is sponsoring this because our new outreach is to caregivers. And we saw the need. I mean, as Gracie reached out to her fellow amputees, I said, you know what? I'm going to go out and talk to my fellow caregivers. I mean, how do you help somebody who helps somebody? I mean, that's the conundrum, by the way. I worked that in, John.
A conundrum?
Conundrum.
Really?
Yeah.
How much you pay for that word?
I heard a great when Christopher Walken did a bit. Oh. You know, when they came to him, they said trick-or-treat or something for Halloween, and they had a riddle for him, and he says, I, too, have a conundrum for you. But I can't imitate. I'm one of the few people that cannot imitate
right.
Christopher Walken.
Everybody's got a Walken, and it's so hard to do.
Except me.
Yeah, except you, apparently. I don't have a Walken either. That's one that I've taken a pass on.
Can you imitate anybody?
I can imitate John Butler quite well. I can imitate a human that functions somewhat.
Okay, we just went off the rails.
What are the rails, Peter? Please tell me.
Where we're going, we don't need rails.
Another Christopher joke. I love it.
Thank you very little. All right. So, Standing with Hope, we started doing this outreach to caregivers, and that's what this show is about. Realize that the family caregiver, those of us who stand between a vulnerable loved one and even worse disaster, we need some help. We need some practical guidance. We need some encouragement. We need some community. And that's what this show is all about. And so we're reaching into the caregiver world, that isolated individual who feels so alone, so disconnected from social groups, from life. And we're saying, no. We're going to help you walk back from the cliff. We're going to point you to a path towards healthiness. And today we're going to talk about a subject. We circle back around to this pretty often because we get so much questions. I get mail. I get people coming up to me all the time, text, Facebook messages, whatever, of this issue, guilt. They just feel guilty all the time.
For all kinds of reasons.
And most of it is self-imposed. And, we often like to have a quote for the day.
Oh, do you have a quote today, Peter?
I have a quote for today.
There you go. Rattle it around.
And you don't have any quote for the day music, do you?
Hang on.
It's like having Paul Schaefer in the booth there.
Just let that sink in for a moment.
It's
sunk all right. Yeah.
It's like that Waffle House breakfast. here's a quote for today. We caregivers are, we look at external sources of being our problems.
Diagram that sentence for me.
External sources we often view as our problem.
Okay.
Now, that's the framework of which I will share today's quote, caregiver quote. Here he goes. Ready? If I went out and kicked the person most responsible for my problems, I wouldn't be able to sit down for a week. Thank you very much, folks.
Oh, good night.
Yeah, but that's, but
yeah, absolutely.
That's it. If I went out and kicked the person most responsible for my problems, I wouldn't be able to sit down for a week.
We are awfully in charge of our own mistakes, you know.
Well, and it's easy to say, well, if we got rid of this situation, or if this person wasn't being such a burden or whatever, then we wouldn't have any problems. And I say, nay. If we're just by ourselves, we're going to be a problem. And part of that is the way we treat ourselves. And I think, I go back to that scripture that is often quoted but very rarely unpacked, which is love your neighbor as yourself. There is an implication that you love yourself.
There is an implication of it's a nice, deep quagmire of philosophy there.
It's
wonderful.
You know, Jesus said a lot with very few words. And, he was good at that sort of thing, you know.
If only politics could be the same way.
Well, believe me, I could say a lot with a lot of words. And right now, every time I give a sentence, there are literally thousands. I mean, by the way, thousands of English teachers across the country committing Harry Carey trying to diagram my sentences. Believe me when I tell you. And people in China. It's love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And there's an implication that you do love yourself. But do we really? I mean, would you treat another person the way you treat yourself?
Ooh.
Think about it.
No,
How hard we are on ourselves. And that's what we're going to talk about this subject with caregiver guilt, because we feel guilty over things. Now, I am going to dissect this, and we'll spend some time on this on the show. And if you, by the way, if this is something you're struggling with, and it could be guilt over simple things that you have worked yourself into a froth over things such as you didn't go every single day to visit mom at the assisted living home, or you didn't get this particular item at the grocery store that your loved one wanted, and you know.
I got a little anecdote for you. A dear friend of mine came to visit me this week at work, and we talked about guilt. And they were taking care of their parents for a while, and their parents are no longer with us. And they go to a support group, like we suggest everybody go to, and they still go. After their caregiving journey was done, and the guilt they felt when their parents died was overwhelming, because they were a little relieved. And they were happy about it in some way. And the guilt for that happiness is unbelievable.
The fact that you would feel guilty over a arduous journey being closed is a sign of an unhealthy heart. And what we want to do on this show, and that's what John was saying, for those of you watching on Facebook Live at Standing with Hope's Facebook page, what he's saying is a couple that felt guilty because their loved ones they were taking care of, parents or elderly loved ones or whatever, passed away. And once they did, after this long journey, they felt guilty for it. They felt guilty for feeling relieved and happy. But when that burden is lifted off of, there's no need to feel guilty. And I think, and another thing I thought when somebody passes away, John, I've heard this comment a lot, is that they beat themselves up for what they would have, should have, could have done.
Mm.
And as we often say on the shows, a lot of times we caregivers should have all over ourselves of what we should have done. I kept it clean, John. What we should be doing, and I'm, as if there's some kind of ledger that we've got to maintain of all the behaviors we have to exhibit perfectly every time. What is the acceptable rate of failure as a caregiver?
Ooh.
I mean, who determines this?
Exactly. There's not really an answer for that.
No, there's not. And yet we torture ourselves because of and most of it's minutia. Most of it is just you're tired and you just feel guilty because of whatever reasons. You know, you want to take a break or you get mad at them and then you feel guilty for being mad at them. And I could fill up an entire week's worth of show of all the scenarios that we feel guilty over. And I'm not talking about deeds that we do that are morally unacceptable and all those kinds of things.
There is an appropriate place for guilt.
Those warrant a level of guilt. I'm just talking about the day-to-day activities that we feel guilty or we do things because we feel guilty, because then that guilt starts driving our decision-making process. And there is a level of self-imposed of standards that we've got to meet, or otherwise we're failing as a person. And they're the ones that are suffering. We should be putting ourselves through all kinds of pretzels in order to serve them. That's the way we think. But I say nay, nay. That's not what we should be doing. That's not healthy to do. Let me get out of the should-haves. I don't want to should-have all over myself either.
There you go.
And let's stay out of those weeds. And there's another component of this, and we'll dissect this a little bit as the show goes on. Shame. Now, guilt is about our words and our actions and, you know, those kinds of things. Shame is a self-view. And we start looking at ourselves as defective, as substandard, or as some type of dastardly or whatever. We beat ourselves up internally over our self-identification. And both of those things cripple you as a person and certainly as a caregiver. And we want to talk about those things today. And I want to also give you a little teaser here. I've got a blog post to go out this week. And it's titled after a sign that was in my chemistry professor's class and in high school. And I was no scholar in chemistry, John. I know that comes as a shock to you.
I am blown away.
But I did beat this man in chess.
Oh.
I did beat it. I think I held the record for that for years. But he had a sign as you walked in. It says, flunk now and avoid the rush, which I love that sign. And for caregivers, that is such an appropriate call to action. And we'll unpack that a little bit later. I don't want to give it all away right now. We're going to take a quick break. And also, when we go to our break, you'll hear from our newest sponsor, Alarm.com. And they have this amazing program, Alarm.com/wellness. I've been an Alarm.com customer for years. And I can check on all kinds of stuff with the alarm, the house, open doors, locked doors, shut doors, whatever, through my smartphone. And Gracie can do the same thing from hers. And when you're in a wheelchair like she is, that's a handy thing to have happen. And technology is a way that we as caregivers can take off this burden off our shoulders and start living a little bit freer, healthier, calmer life using technology to help us. There's so many more things we're going to talk about today. 800-688-9522 if you want to be on the show. 800-688-9522. Also have Songs for the Caregiver, my new CD. You want a copy? Give us a call. 800-688-9522. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the nation's number one show for caregivers, and I'm thrilled you're with us.
that just watch. Come on.
Welcome back to the show for Caregivers About Caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 30 years of experience to help you stay strong and healthy as you take care of somebody who's not. And we are so thrilled that you're joining us. If you want to be on the show, 800-688-9522, 800-688-9522. And thank you so much. Hey, listen, if you're following along on Facebook Live, you can follow us at Standing With Hope, which is our sponsor for the show, and they are broadcasting live from Facebook, and you're welcome to do that. You won't be able to hear or see John, which I know is, well, quite truthfully, it's heartbreaking.
But I miss all of you as well.
But it's a beautiful thing to be able to tune in the studio, and I love the studio here. We have a great time,
and you can always, of course, check out the iHeart app.
You can 1510 WLAC on iHeart. You can stream it and so forth. We're glad to have you with us. And if you want to know more about all that we're doing, go to standingwithhope.com, which is a sponsor for this show. It's our family caregiver outreach. Why do we do this? Well, because 65 million Americans right now are taking care of a vulnerable loved one, and they're doing it at their own risk and own peril. I mean, it's a brutal journey to care for someone else. How do you stay healthy while taking care of somebody who's not? And what does that look like? The stress that's on caregivers is crushing. And into this, we're weighing in with practical things we've learned. I am the crash test dummy of caregivers. I mean, if you could fail at it, I failed at it. And so what we're doing is offering things that I've learned over the years. It's not a they're there kind of show. Well, we'll just pat you on the back. They're there. It's a don't go down there kind of show. That's a bad road. I know this from experience. Don't go down there. That is a bad place. And it's on all topics. So it's your health. It's your emotions. It's your lifestyle. It's your profession. It's your money. It's your endurance. You spell that all together, it says help me, health, emotions, lifestyle, profession, money, endurance, help me. And caregivers are desperately needing help, but we don't know what that looks like. And we feel guilty if we even ask for help. We feel guilty if we want help. And we're talking today about guilt. We come back to the subject of guilt on a regular basis because it paralyzes caregivers. It's one of the landmines in my new book, 7 Caregiver Landmines and How You Can Avoid Them. And guilt is one of those landmines. And it will cripple us. It truly will. I can't say it any plainer. And if you want to, by the way, if you want to get look at that book, 7caregiverlandmines.com, 7caregiverlandmines.com, and take a look at it. See what I'm talking about. I wrote this kind of almost like a field manual for caregivers on how to navigate through the difficult things that affect us all as caregivers. And today we've been talking about guilt. And guilt, you can really, if you're feeling guilty, chances are you're feeling shame. Both of those things kind of appear at the same time. You ever notice that, John? Is that it's hard to have this overriding sense of guilt without having
a little bit of shame.
Ample amount of shame, yeah. In that. Now, as we said in the last segment, let's I don't want to belabor it, but let's just quickly review that, because for those of you just now coming on, guilt is the feelings you have about your actions, the external things. And sometimes people will try to make you feel guilt. They'll try to guilt you into something. But ultimately, you're responsible for how you feel about your own actions, thoughts, words, and deeds. Shame, on the other hand, is an internal evaluation of who we are as a person in our core. And both of those things enter into this discussion when you talk about caregivers. I had a guy that contacted me recently, and he was taking care of his aging parent, his mother. And she just berated him on a regular basis. Still, well, I don't know if she's stopped doing it, but she was 97 and holding on like grim death. And she was just berating him, and he was her only caregiver. And his self-image was just in the toilet. I mean, just horrible. Why? Because all he's doing is listening to one voice that's coming in, which is hers. And after a while, he starts believing this. And that's where the shame comes in. You start believing that you're just a worthless piece of crap here, and just all the stuff that sometimes comes from somebody we're taking care of who may be impaired. They may have dementia. They may just be in a jerk. It doesn't matter. But that doesn't mean that they are the arbiter of truth about who you are as a person. That's something we're going to spend some time with in the next segment. We're running short on time here. We've got to get to the bottom of the hour. We've got so much more to talk about. 800-688-9522. Got a copy of my new CD, Hope. Songs for the Caregiver. My book is Hope for the Caregiver. This is Songs for the Caregiver. I'm so excited about this project. And I think John's going to play one of the tracks from it here. I put it in a request. Normally, I do not micromanage John on his musical expertise because he is the Count of Monte Disco. But I did put it in a request for this. And it's a special preview. You'll only hear it here right now.
Oh, I love it.
It's a very special preview. And this song, if you'll pardon the expression, John, this song has legs. We'll be right back. This is Peter Rosenberger. That is the new song from my CD, Songs for the Caregiver, by my wife, Gracie. I wrote this with my friend Buddy Munlock, and it's called I Can Only Hold You Now. And Chris Latham, who also does our show's theme with the boys in the band in the corner, helped me produce this record. And I am so proud of this record and that song in particular. I love this song, I Can Only Hold You Now. And I knew, John, I mean, you know how you and I are at the piano. For those of you who don't know, John is a noodler extraordinaire at the piano. He likes to noodle at the piano.
It's therapy.
It is. And so you come up with these riffs when you're playing sometimes, and you think, okay, this sounds really good. And I had this this riff in this song, da-da-da-da-da, and I thought, I want to take this. I want to go somewhere with this song.
How long have you been messing with that one?
I wrote it in January.
Okay.
I sat down in January and I just kind of like, okay, let me just kick this around. But then I started some more with it. Then I reached out to my friend Buddy. Buddy's a wonderful songwriter. I mean, he toured with Art Garfunkel and
said
Garth Brooks Cut. There's a bunch of different guys. He's a wonderful singer, songwriter. He is just amazing. And so I called him up and I said, Buddy, I want to write a song for caregivers. I want to write a song that expresses the heart of a caregiver, of what we're looking at in our own heart as we do these things. And nobody's ever really done this before.
Yeah, and it's not.
Well, think about it. I mean, who would?
Yeah. You know?
And so we kicked it around and he came over to the house and I fleshed out this theme. And the writing experience with somebody like Buddy, I'm a composer and I've been a pianist for 45 years. I know my way around a piece of music and so forth. But songwriting is a different animal. Do you know a lot of songwriters?
I live in Nashville. I know a few.
Okay. Really, really good songwriters.
Yeah.
Are an interesting group of people because they have a very different kind of skill set of looking at the world and of shaping an idea.
Right. And there's a little author thrown in there. There's a little musician thrown in there. It's a different skill set.
And Buddy is one of those kind of guys that have been doing this for so long. And like I said, I'm a good composer. I mean, I know what I'm doing. And so I started doing this thing with Buddy, and he helped me flesh it out. And I knew when I had that line, I know there will be sorrow. We'll face that somehow. My hands can't hold tomorrow. I can only hold you now. And I knew I had something at that point. And then Buddy helped me do it. And then I wanted to fill up some space going into the chorus and so forth. And Buddy said, no. Give it the air that it needs.
Let
the idea have some space. And see, that's the difference between an amateur songwriter and somebody who really knows their craft. And he understood space. Real people with real expertise in the music business, in songs and writing and producing and performing and so forth, the difference between good musicians and great artists is space.
There you go.
The space between the notes, knowing how to let it breathe and let the idea have it. And Buddy just did a great job. So we've done this song, and Gracie cut this for him. She said she wanted to sing it. And she was actually nervous about this. And Gracie's been singing, in front of large crowds since she was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
But she said, I really want to do this song right by you. And I thought, how sweet is that? It was so precious to watch her do it. And of course she's a no kidding singer, and so I'm really proud of this. And if you want this CD, you're certainly welcome to call in. I'll give you one, or you can go to Standing with Hope for any donation. Standing with Hope, we'll send you the whole CD, Songs for the Caregiver. And I wanted to organize this CD in a way that would reflect a caregiver's heart and strengthen them, encourage them. It's got hymns, piano arrangements, noodling, if you will, John, noodling.
Love it.
And then I brought in a couple of special guests and so forth. But it's just songs that strengthen me along the way as a caregiver. And when you're a 30-year caregiver and a 45-year pianist, it's an unusual combination of skills that come together in this.
Well, and we've never called you usual.
Usual suspect.
Who is Kaiser Soze?
Kaiser Soze.
Right. Yes.
Okay, sorry.
Don't ruin it for anybody.
We just digressed for a minute. But I wanted to have something for a caregiver that would strengthen their heart and calm their heart down, because I know caregivers are weary and they're discouraged and so forth. And this is what this is about. And we deal with every subject in here about guilt, all the kind of stuff that we talk about with caregivers, fear, guilt, obligation, loss of identity. All that is covered in the songs that I deal with on this record. And so I'm real proud of it. Hey, I want to give a quick question. Some airtime here. Rhonda, who is watching on Facebook Live streaming right now, talked about guilt after her loved ones were gone. Her journey as a caregiver was over, and she still felt guilty about all the things that she didn't do, or what she could have done more, that kind of stuff, which is a common thing, John. And we're talking about guilt today. That is so common, unfortunately, to so many caregivers. We beat ourselves without mercy, thinking that somehow we could have done more. And I want to say to all my fellow caregivers right now, pay attention. Those of you not a caregiver, just don't worry about listening. But for those of you who are caregivers, I want to specifically talk about those of you who are addressing this guilty feelings of your loved one is gone and you're still beating yourself up for this, of what you could have done more. You did the best you could with the stuff that you had and the information you knew and the resources that you had. What is the acceptable failure rate as a caregiver? Can anybody tell me that? What is the percentage of failure that is acceptable? You know, and I would suggest to you, John, that it is different for those that we know and different for us, for ourselves. We put an unreasonable standard on ourselves while giving mercy to other people. And I say, give mercy to yourself.
Give yourself a little grace.
A little grace. I need grace so much. I married a woman named Grace. And what is the acceptable failure rate as a caregiver? 10%, 1%, 3%, 15%? Come on. I mean, you see where I'm going with this? And I'm for all of you right now who are mourning over the loss of someone, and you're beating yourself without mercy, and it could be more than just a disease or impairment or special needs or aging parent. It could have been somebody who was an alcoholic or somebody who was an addict. And you're thinking, if I had only done this, if I'd only done this, if I'd only done this, that's torture. That is self-destructive behavior. You are going to cripple yourself over that. You were not responsible for what another human being chooses to do to themselves. Okay? I mean, that's just the bottom line. You are not Superman, Superwoman. You can't do it. You do the best you can with what you have, and then when you do make mistakes, you ask God for the strength, the wisdom, and the courage to know what to own and what to not to own. That, again, I go back to what that reporter asked me not too terribly long ago. What is the single biggest issue you face as a caregiver? Hands down, it is knowing what is mine and what is not mine to carry. Hands down. There is that encroachment reflex that I have. I just made that up, John. Encroachment reflex. And I default to that. Do you? I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot. Does that resonate with you at all?
It does.
An encroachment reflex.
Well, and the mission creep that we all have of
mission creep.
Creep. Yes. Mission creep.
Oh, okay.
Your mission statement is this is mine. The things that are your mission.
I'm sorry.
Don't worry. We are a little creepy. Don't get me wrong.
I'm sorry, my brain just went in a much different direction. The mission creep. What's the mission creep? It's big. Punctuation the mission, is really
Peter,
important.
Let me put it out. Commas matter, all right? Your mission is to know what is yours and what is not.
And to be the best steward of what is mine and what is not. And we often will feel guilty over things that we have no power over whatsoever.
And there's a lot of people who will let you feel guilty.
And they will. See, it's a twofold problem. Again, that guilt can come from external sources that you're not driving it, but they can try to put that on you. And after a while, it'll wear you down and you'll start believing it. Now, the question is, how long do you want to do that? And one of the contributing factors of that is what we caregivers deal with. Every one of us deal with is isolation. And when we're in an echo chamber of someone else's dysfunction, we're going to start believing it after a while. It's only a matter of time. So you've got to get some chlorine into the gene pool there. I mean, well, no, wait a minute. Sorry, that was a wrong metaphor.
Watch it.
Sorry. Went way off the rails on that one. You've got to get some fresh ideas in there because you will start believing this thing and then it will take you down. Just like that guy that called me, his mother was just feeding him constant berating criticism and even to the point of just being verbally abusive to him, just beating him down. But he wasn't listening to anyone else. And this is what happens to us as caregivers. Hey, listen, we got to take a break. Maybe you're dealing with this. Maybe this is what's going on with you right now, that somebody that you're taking care of is beating the crap out of you emotionally and whatever, and you're just sick of it. That's why I do the show. This is why we're here. And we've got so much more to go. Don't go away. I implore you to listen to another voice besides the one that is tearing you down. I implore you, please. This is Peter Rosenberger. This is the nation's number one show for caregivers, and there's a reason for it, because we're bringing 30 years of this to help you stay strong and healthy while taking care of someone who's not. We got more to go. 800-688-9522, 800-688-9522, and we'll be right back. Number one disco song of all time.
Oh, fantastic. Good choice, too.
Well, yeah. You are the number one count of Mighty Disco yourself.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the show for caregivers, about caregivers, hosted by a caregiver. I am Peter Rosenberger, bringing you 30 years of experience to help you stay strong and healthy while taking care of somebody who is not. And that was the latest and greatest offering from himself, the count of Mighty Disco, John Butler, everyone.
Myself.
We love him and appreciate him. And, hey, I got to give you a quick little thing that happened this week. I got to interview a Grand Ole Opry star on a television show that I guest hosted for the Total Christian Television Network, and they asked me periodically to come and guest host some TV shows.
Gotcha.
Which shows a level of faith on their part.
Well,
if you ever wondered if these people were people of faith, they are they let me host a show.
They demonstrate it.
But John, do you ever listen to old country?
Yeah, that's where I actually, country. Old. Well, you see, when you say old country, I immediately like go to blues and Robert Johnson and stuff like that.
No, this is George Jones type of stuff.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah,
John Conley. Does that name sound familiar?
No, it does not.
John Conley, of course, he's an Opry star and had a string of hits. And he's been out there doing this for about 40 years.
Oh, wow.
And he wrote a big song. Probably the most well-known song of his is Roads of Colored Glasses.
Okay.
And he came on this show, and I got to interview him.
Oh, right
on. The thing is, he started here at WLAC. Actually, when WLAC was downtown at the old Life and Casualty building.
Yeah, at the Life and Casualty building.
WLAC.
Yeah.
Life and Casualty. And so he, but he was a disc jockey back when we played rock and roll here at WLAC.
Hey, right. Well, a lot of people don't know. Today, you know?
Well, that's true. And a lot of people don't know that WLAC at night played all kinds of R&B.
Oh,
It was more responsible for R&B in the South than anybody else.
Because they crank, we still do this. We crank it up at night, and it gets to 28 states.
We played all kinds of great stuff at night. R&B, so more people got to know James Brown and all this kind of stuff. But anyway, he was at the old, and then he went into he started doing country music and playing and so forth. And just a really interesting conversation. But I will tell you just a quick story before we get into everything else here and finish up for the day. But he was in the funeral home business, and I asked him. I said, "How many country stars started out in the funeral home business?" And I think he's the only one. And he looked at it as a real ministry. I mean, it was something he had a lot of passion for helping people and so forth. But he's a little town in Kentucky, and he said, "We also had the ambulance service there at the funeral home." And I said, "Wait a minute, isn't that a conflict of interest?"
I was going to say the same thing.
It's like Monty Python, you know, bring out your dead. Well, not dead yet.
Don't worry, I'll be stone dead in a moment.
Anyway, just a wonderful, and that'll be on in a couple of weeks. They taped it the other day, and it was just a lot of fun. Interesting guy, John Conley. If you want to see more about him, johnconley.com, I believe. That's C-O-N-L-E-E, John Conley. So, listen, we finished up today with talking about caregiver guilt, which is paralyzing to so many folks. And we're going to be delving into all different types of things that go on with caregivers. And I wanted to also end up with a little bit of things of what we're doing with Standing with Hope, which is the primary sponsor of this show. John, do you know what nylon stockinette is? Now, not nylon stockings, John. Nylon stockinette.
I have no idea where you're going with this, buddy. I'm going to exercise a level of faith.
Nylon stockinette, it comes in fairly significant rolls. And it is different sizes, whether it's 4-inch, 6-inch, 8-inch, 10-inch, whatever. And we use it to make prosthetic limbs.
Gotcha.
And,
okay.
And what you do is you take a mold, a cast of the patient's limb, and then you pour plaster into that cast, and then you make a mold of it, and then you wrap it around with stockinette and carbon fiber and so forth, and that's how you make that shell, that socket that goes in a carbon fiber. So it's a very involved process, and you need a lot of stockinette, and you cannot reuse stockinette. You have to have it. You have to buy it new, and normally we have to buy that at Standing with Hope for the prosthetic limb ministry we do. Somebody, and I don't know who, it came through the prison because we have a recycling limb program at a local prison here in Nashville where we collect used limbs from all over the country. And the guy, the supervisor over there, called me and said he got like almost 100 pounds of this stuff, which is a lot because it's very lightweight material. And rolls and rolls and rolls of this that I guess a prosthetic shop had gone through their inventory or something. I don't know. And he's going to give me the information. Tons of this stuff, which one roll will make approximately, depends on the size of the person, but one roll make approximately 8 to 10 legs.
Oh, wow.
So you're looking at, dozens and dozens and dozens of prosthetic limbs that we can do because of this. It's an amazing gift. And what we'd like to encourage you to do today is to go out to standingwithhope.com and help us ship it, along with other things that we ship over regularly to Ghana, of prosthetic feet, of pylons, of connectors, adapters, screws, this stockinette, of course, other things that we ship on a regular basis over there to help them and equip them to build prosthetic limbs for their own people. This stuff is expensive to buy. I mean, it's very expensive, and normally Standing with Hope has to purchase. But that's an amazing gift that we just got in at Standing with Hope. And for a donation of, I think it's $20 or $25 or more, whatever's on your heart, We'll send you a copy of this new CD, Songs for the Caregiver, which represents a lifetime desire of mine, which is to cut a CD for those who are just really struggling. You know, I've been doing this for 30 years. I understand the journey, and I wanted to provide a musical way of connecting for people. So I think, John, what I want to do is just say, hey, sit down, be still, and let me play for you. You know, I'm the Cracker Barrel of piano players. You know, it's all comfort music. I
mean, it's, oh, there you go.
You know, I'm not there to razzle-dazzle you. I don't want to get you all keyed up. I just want to play for you and calm your heart down. And
keyed up. Don't think I didn't see that.
Oh, God bless you, John. God bless you. So if you want to get a copy of that, if you're in the Nashville area, you go to Logos Bookstore. He's selling them like hotcakes over there. They're going to be available on iTunes and all that kind of stuff a little bit later. But right now, if you want one, you go to standingwithhope.com and donate any amount, and I'll send you one. Thank you for joining us today. We talked about guilt. I hope that your heart is a little bit lighter. I hope that you have a little bit more in the way of tools to help you deal with this better. Let's stay healthy together, because healthy caregivers make better caregivers. It's just that simple. And today is a great day for you to start being healthy. Okay, look, whatever happened last week, leave it there. Whatever happened yesterday, leave it there. Let's look today and let's move forward. Let's do this together, okay? Go to standingwithhope.com for more. And I got it all there, and we'll see you next week. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Peter Rosenberg. Bye-bye.